It's time for Apple Farm Chatter, your podcast for all things Apple Farm Service, the latest ag news, dealership events, and upcoming trends. Put on your work clothes. Apple Farm Chatter begins now.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Apple Farm Chatter. Kent Holmes here with Apple Farm Service, along with quite a few folks here today.
Yeah, it's more than just me today. I'll say, do you want to go ahead and get the introductions there, Kent?
Yeah, sure. So, Kent, myself, Travis, we got Brad Baker, we have Matt Apple, and then on the remote today, we have all the way from Texas, we have Arthur Erickson. How you doing, Arthur?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So today, we're going to be talking all things Helio. And just a lot going on, and I guess we should go around and first introduce everybody. So, Arthur, you're coming from Texas, but where are you calling from?
Specifically, a town called Richmond. So that's south of Houston by about 30 minutes.
Okay. And then, Arthur, you should guess, let us know, what is the, where are you from? What are you from? I guess just to give it away. We're talking Helio today. So, Arthur, what do you do at Helio?
I am the CEO and one of the co-founders of a company called Helio. So Helio designs, builds, and then sells drones for the agricultural industry. So these are basically precise autonomous crop dusting drones that input fertilizer, pesticides, or any other crop inputs into your crops to improve yields, fight pests, etc. And I've been doing it for 10 years. So I started this company back in college. I went to UT Austin. That was back in 2015. And it's really the only quote-unquote real job I've ever had. I had a few internships before this, but I rolled straight from university right into this gig, so to speak.
Awesome, awesome. And then on the AFS, Apple Farm Service side, we got Brad Baker, who's the lead Helio. I guess, would that be your official title you go by here, the Helio Master at Apple Farm Service?
I get called all kinds of things, but yeah. Run the drone department here at Apple Farm Service.
Awesome. And then we got Matt Apple, Vice President here at Apple Farm Service, and a key part of the Helio team too, right?
I try to be, yeah. I just try to keep a little bit of my thumb on it. I guess I'm the runner. Brad does all the heavy lifting. I'm kind of the runner.
Awesome. No, you keep us in tow. You keep us in tow. You let us know we're doing something wrong.
Oh, yeah,
we're doing something right. You do, yep. I guess, Arthur, kind of what's the backstory of Helio? How'd it get started?
It kind of depends on who you ask because, I mean, I have three co-founders, and we all coalesced on Helio together, right? So, I mean, that's just how these things go. It's pretty organic. But anyway, the short version is I started the company with two of my fellow students at UT, Mike and Nikhil, who are now our CFO and CTO, respectively. So we started the company in a dorm room, actually technically an apartment in Austin while we were studying. And the first thing we did was we had no plan. So we threw a bunch of darts at the board, as they say. And we were like, okay, we could do delivery, we could do defense, we could do agriculture, we could do industrial surveying, et cetera, et cetera. We just really liked the idea of drones in general. We thought there was just money there. I mean, we looked at drones like a pot of gold, which, you know, we turned out to be right for the wrong reasons, I guess. But so we started a delivery project with a company actually down in Costa Rica. And essentially, they were like Uber Eats or Favor. They were an on-demand delivery service, but in the Cartago, San Jose, Costa Rica region. So just like in the middle of the country, like the urbanized area. So we did that for about, let's say, a year, year and a half. And it was really fun, technically, very challenging of making these delivery drones work. And I mean, we had a few accidents along the way. Of course, no one got hurt or there was nothing serious, but it was still pretty frustrating. So we weren't making any money doing that. But being down there in Central America, in Costa Rica, we were surrounded by agriculture because those are very agricultural-driven communities down there. So we started to say, hey, this drone delivery thing isn't really working out. But look around us. Like, there's all these people doing agriculture, and in fact, down there doing it in let's say, a rather traditional way. So they were doing a lot of hand application, like literally by hand, scooping up fertilizer and applying it by hand. So we noticed this around us and basically just got to talking to some of our business partners down there and being like, hey, like, do you guys know anyone in the ag sector? Could we pivot to that? And so through these connections that we had made down there via our delivery business, we slowly transitioned first to a few agricultural projects, and then that became the total main focus for Helio. So that's kind of how Helio became what it is today, which is, of course, as we said at the top, just a company that's fully focused on making autonomous drone solutions for the ag sector, like almost entirely exclusively. I mean, we have like 1% of our business that's ag adjacent or non-ag, but of course, mostly we're focused on the ag sector. So we started off in a bit of like a wandering in the desert period, trying to find ourselves, but pretty quickly, within like 2 years, we had pivoted fully to ag. And like, that sounds like a long time, but considering the company's 10 years old, you know, it was only like the first few years of our existence that we were trying to find the right product market fit. But we like ag. The value prop is way stronger. We thought it was an underserviced market. So very, let's say, virgin market for drones to penetrate into. And so we found a really good fit there. You're making more money as a business. You're offering more value to the end customer as well. So more value is just being created across the board. And then, frankly, we just like the ag sector better in terms of the culture and the people, the mission. So talking to farmers every day and you know, farm service providers, these are just good people. They're honest. They're straightforward. I like doing business with them. And, of course, we're all working together to do something I think is pretty noble, which is make more food and just feed people. So it's easy to go to sleep at night. Head hits the pillow knowing that you helped some people eat more food today, which is always a good thing. So yeah, that's how we got here, basically.
Awesome. I feel like I two questions that popped up during that. First, what was the number one restaurant in Costa Rica that you were delivering from? I'm just curious on that.
Just in case you
case, so now we, yeah. What's most used on Helio Eats?
You know, in fact, Costa Rica. So, I'm not sure how much traveling you've done, but basically, when you go to a lot of these overseas countries, you'll notice that their McDonald's are way nicer, right? So McDonald's in Costa Rica or Central America is like a gourmet experience. They use different ingredients, you know, not to poo-poo on McDonald's, but it's like it just tastes better over here. They put more effort into it. When I say over here, I mean in Costa Rica. And so McDonald's was definitely one of our bigger food customers. And probably like 40% of our deliveries would be from one specific McDonald's in San Jose. But I'm telling you, this was like a five-star restaurant. It wasn't like a fast food, like down-the-street joint.
Real sesame seeds on their burgers.
You can't escape that clown.
And then, just curious, when you started in your dorm, like, were you legit trying to build drones in a little, like, 10x10, like, or were you just, you were? You're nodding. You did?
Kind of embarrassing if you see, like, some of our early drones. Literally, we built drones out of popsicle sticks sometimes. I mean, little test rigs. The point is, right, when you're trying to fail fast and fail cheap, you're building them out of basically just anything you could find around, like, the craft store, just, like, in your apartment. So you just, like, literally duct tape together some wood, some popsicle sticks, buy a cheap, you know, motor, you know, electronic kit online, a little DIY drone kit, and then you put it up in the air and just, like, do some testing. So a lot of iterating with very simple prototypes like that. And so it was kind of stupid looking back on it because we often cut so many corners on the prototypes that they would literally just fall apart. It's like, how much data do you get if, like, your popsicle stick snaps? Nothing. So
your RA just walks by you like, yeah. Hey, Arthur, okay, you're working on your drones. Have a good day.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. Yeah. It was fun. It was fun. And for sure, we were known as, like, the drone guys. Like, all of our neighbors just called us the drone guys, and we were always doing all sorts of wacky experiments, so it was pretty fun.
Awesome. And then I guess, so now fast forward 10 years, you now have this growing company that has some really cool stuff out there. I guess the question is, Apple Farm Service was one of the first dealers to partner as a dealership between sales, service, parts, and I guess you'd say, going that right route, why are you now partnering with dealerships like Apple Farm Service?
Well, it's the natural progression, as a lot of people just imagine, in an industry like this. So as the industry matures and manufacturer like Hilo tries to achieve more scale, it becomes advantageous just from a planning and a cash perspective to try to work with some key partners who are going to, let's say, stabilize the supply curve. So it's like Hilo is trying to order enough parts for 1,000 drones at once, as an example, just like a round number. It really helps us if we say, hey, you know, here's 5 customers these 1,000 drones are going to be locked in for. So then we could do our planning and really just focus on the execution of producing those drones. And this is just what, I mean, I'm just explaining basically just where everything goes. So, I mean, this happens at the car industry, consumer electronics, whatever. So I don't think it's anything unique, but it's a lot better logistically and strategically. And I think it just creates more value, right? So if we can have forward-thinking partners like Apple put some skin in the game, that means we can go out and buy more inventory, which means we can get cheaper raw materials at scale, which ultimately gives, you know, us more margin, Apple more margin, and the end customer more value. So it's just, it's all headed in the right direction organically. And I think another aspect of it was, and actually probably the impetus for it more strongly initially was, we literally just needed boots on the ground. So Hilo, again, we want to focus on production and like R&D and just making better products, but we weren't really in a position in terms of resources or bandwidth to just deploy repair people or technicians across the country, especially in the Midwest where the machines were being most heavily utilized and needed the most servicing. So a big driver for us in Apple, Matt and Brad will recall, like one of the first things we led with was, hey, like it is obligatory for you guys to do maintenance and repair on these drones if you want to carry our products. And it's even contractually obligated. Like if they don't do it, if you guys, the dealers, don't do it, then that's like a strike on your record, right? So it is really a lot about offering that boots on the ground, hands-on service for the end customers where Hilo physically can't be there. So I think that's where it works really well. And we've had a lot of great feedback from people working with Apple Farms, just, you know, same day parts or same day repairs, and y'all going out and helping them set up their farms, their fields and stuff like that. So it's worked really well.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, one thing Travis and I did come up with, and actually we never cleared this with you, Matt, or you, Brad, or with your dad, Bill, Matt, but we came up with an alternative revenue source for Hilo as well. I guess we didn't clear this with you, Arthur. So here is our new ad for our new revenue source for Hilo as well.
Let's hear it.
Sits there. Then you need to elevate your message, literally, with Apple Farm Services' brand new air advertisement program. We're talking drone-powered aerial advertisement for farms, businesses, and emotionally fueled messages to your neighbor.
Like, sorry about your chickens, Gary. My bad, bro.
Exactly. Just attach your custom banner to one of our drones, hit the big red button, and boom! Your message is now flying majestically above the fields of America. Want to advertise an auction? Promote your award-winning apple pie? Remind your cousin Dean that he still owes you $43.17 from the group Baylor Rental in 2020. We can help you advertise it. Our drones are engineered to fly at legalish altitudes and follow a highly advanced flight path. Point A to somewhere vaguely in the direction of point B. And with the optional add-ons, like live speaker announcements and the automatic targeting, your message will land loud and clear, no matter where your audience is.
Hey, how'd you find me? I use DuckDuckGo.
Apple Farm Services Airdvertisement, because if you're not flying your message through the sky behind a 40-pound whirling megaphone, are you even advertising? Drones cannot legally carry goats, family members, or emotional baggage. Advertisement does not currently operate near airports, alpaca farms, or disgruntled old men with shotguns. Wind patterns may affect message legibility in your general sense of direction.
It's a good it's a good point. If you're not advertising with a 40-pound giant drone with a met, well, you're not advertising at all, are you?
Exactly. This is forward thinking right here.
Forward thinking.
It's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, I actually hadn't even thought, like, legitimately, I think, like, singing telegrams, but with the drone.
That is a good idea, singing telegrams.
Yeah.
You see a drone and just, happy birthday. Don't run away, I'm singing to you.
Kind of screen drop up from below it so you can actually be seen.
Ah, that's true.
So
that's very true. Could you use it to go to vacation if you really don't want to go to the family vacation, too? Just put a screen on it. I was there.
I saw everything.
I saw everything.
So
I could just swim in the ocean, but I was there at the ocean.
Just real quick, as to go back a little bit to, I just want to say, as a dealer, dealing with a lot of manufacturers, all the manufacturers that we deal with, I want to just say how refreshing it is to have a partnership with a company like Helio, somebody that actually stands behind their product. We've had so many issues within the last few years, whether, I'm not going to name names because it probably wouldn't be the right thing to do, but there are some manufacturers out there that just aren't standing behind their product and not doing what they should be doing when it comes to customer relations. And Helio is one company that is, they stand way above everybody else. And that's kind of when Arthur approached us about some of the new stuff, the new technology coming out, we had to figure out how to get it to work. We get to figure out how we, as a company, can put that capital, up when we really probably shouldn't have. But put that capital up.
It's gonna pay out. Don't you worry.
Yeah, no, I'm not worried about it, Arthur. But we had to figure out how to make it work to keep this partnership going. And the direction we're going, because Helio is a very, very good company. And like I said, it's very refreshing to have somebody that actually stands behind their product.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And so you mentioned the backstory of Helio, and that we're the servicing for sales, sales, service, parts. We have in-stock parts and everything else, and we appreciate working with Helio. Specifically, I guess we can go into Helio itself and the products you have for those that are listening that wonder, okay, well, sprayer drones, what does that mean? What can you do with them? I guess the first question is I guess Helio, because there are competitors out there that have sprayer drones, but what makes Helio unique? What makes it stand out from the others?
Yeah, so that's a good point. There are other spray drones on the market. So this will be kind of a roundabout answer, but I'm not going where you think I'm going to go with it, but we are one of the only few American companies that are manufacturing these in the country, right? And so that's not necessarily why you should buy them. Yes, there are potential bans and legal actions and tariffs and whatnot against the majority of the competitor drones, which are primarily made in China. But I'm trying to paint the picture that these are drones that are made by Americans for Americans, and that actually means something, technically speaking, when you interface with it. So anyone that's used a lot of the DJI products, for example, and I'll name them because they're huge, I'm allowed to do that, I think, but a lot of the other, let's say, Chinese drones, the software, their mentality towards their user experience, and both on the hardware and software side, is totally different. And so one of the first, like the biggest differences, I think, between Helio and the other guys was when we went into the market, we said, we're going to go work for farmers, obviously in Central America first, but then later in America as soon as we could, talk to the farmers, get their exact feedback, and add features that American farmers, real farmers, actually want and need. It wasn't like this top-down approach, it was bottom-up. And so you'll see that reflected. I think our AgriSol software, our ground control software, has gotten a little bloated over the years, but it's mostly no fluff, and it's a very straightforward progression. So to go from nothing, so just looking at a blank map, so we're tied up to like Google Maps, for example, from looking at Google Maps, a blank screen, to actually flying and spraying the application you want on a field, it's a very simple, visual, intuitive process. And that was all driven from this bottom-up approach, from just getting direct customer feedback and working directly in the field spraying with customers. So I think that it's a bit understated, right? Because when something works, it's like Batman. Like when Batman's doing his job, like you don't care about Batman, right? It's like when he's not doing his job, that's when you notice he's gone. So it's like when the interface is smooth and when everything just clicks and it's simple for these farmers to utilize, you're not really thinking about it. You take it for granted. So I think that's something that Helio has done really well. And it's easy. So a lot of you'll notice, and this is my perspective, but a lot of times the competitors in the market are really fixating. It's almost like a consumer type of pitch where it's like, oh, we've got this new like doodad or like new dongle. Like, oh, like now we've got FPV that can go a mile further, or we've got you know, a new controller and this. And of course, we do stuff like that too. We're excited about new products, but often their pitch is like, look at this, like look at this new model, and it's got like XYZ new like hardware dongle or something on it, little like, you know, doodad widget. Whereas the Helio pitch has always been like, the technology is going to grow and improve and make your experience better, more productive. But ultimately, we're selling you like a holistic package, which is hardware, software, our knowledge as a company, our support, you know, the partners we work with, the maintenance and repair network we set up with Apple and the other dealers. So we've always had more of that kind of approach where it's, we're selling you a total solution and not just a commodity. And for sure, I think you feel the difference. Like, yeah, the Chinese-made drones, they can often be pretty good. But they really are just interested in selling hardware, moving metal, and being done with you, so to speak. So I think that's a huge difference in just tone of working with Helio versus these other companies. And it's, that's not even to say, I mean, I could talk about this for hours, but of course, I think our products stand on their own. I mean, even if Helio had bad service, for example, I think especially our new products are very competitive and do a lot of things better than some of these Chinese products. And of course, they excel in areas too. But I think it's a very evenly matched fight right now, even just one-to-one, like tech-to-tech comparison.
Okay. Now, I guess, yes, Matt.
I would say that going back to your talk about some of the software things, Helio does a really good job of they design their software to be more productive. Brad, Marcus, Apple, and I were down at the Mobile.
You have to say it with spray, Mobile.
Down at the Big Spray drone clinic down there, and there was a big distributor, drone distributor, mainly of Chinese drones, on the stage talking about how swarming and all this stuff, it's not as great as you think it is. We're only getting 75% efficiency because it's just not as good. Well, there's a reason why it's not as good. It's because their software isn't designed to swarm. I mean, they literally have to use separate remotes for each drone while it's swarming. Helio's not that way.
That's one I was surprised at when we was down there. The way they were talking about the swarming and how, you know, their software really isn't letting them do it the same that ours is. And it's always, that's for me too, it's always impressed me how easy some of that stuff really is when you get in there. The software keeps you out of trouble. And if it can keep me out of trouble, it can keep anybody out of trouble. I always find it. But yeah, I was really surprised how theirs wasn't doing that. Like,
I think they were trying to downplay it because that's not something that is very good on their with their product. But then you come to Helio, and we've seen a completely different experience from guys that are swarming. We're seeing anywhere between 100 to if not 120% more efficient because of the software, because of the hardware. And I just want to touch on that because I think that's huge. It's a huge aspect of getting more things done, being efficient, and, you know,
yeah,
that's what we're going for.
And I guess going on what you guys are talking about, something new that just came out, we're excited to have one that we demo. We have coming some in stock. I know, Arthur, you're excited about it. I think everyone's excited about it. So you guys have always had four different models before, an AG210, a 216, a 230, a 272. But you have a new one coming out, which is kind of a hybrid between them all with a lot of new technology, called the Aeris 150 drone. And I guess you guys have flown it. We've flown it. We loved it. I'll pick on you, Brad. You're looking at me. What the Aeris 150 drone, what's new about it? What do you love about it?
Everything is new about the Aeris. This thing, I'm always skeptical at the beginnings of things. I have to see it before I'm going to believe it. You know, Nick, Arthur, and the boys all had talked about how great it was, how much different, all that stuff. And, you know, obviously I believed that it was going to be different. The pictures that we had seen were completely different than anything that we'd had. And so when we got down to Houston, it's been 6-8 weeks ago, something like that, getting to see it in person the first time, you know, I started to get a little excited. Got to see it fly. Got more excited. But, you know, obviously the guys out there are only going to let us do so much while we're there. And whenever we get home and get a demo delivered to us, then we can kind of cut loose a little bit in a way. Obviously, we're going to take care of it, but...
You didn't stick a banner on it and fly around? No. Advertising?
We did not.
40-pound megaphone?
No, we didn't. We did go to a normal-sized field, you know, like half mile, and set up a mission and flew that thing. And when we started seeing the numbers that was coming back efficiency-wise and such, not per flight, but putting multiple flights together to get a legit, accurate number, the excitement rose more. We went to another big field, and in the past, it's been a deal. Half mile was like, we're going to fly out a half mile. That's our cutoff. We want to get this thing back safe. Every time, half mile's our cutoff. We got out into a big field that we could make. It was just under a mile long pass, and we were flying half mile at first, and it was the first time that I know I felt comfortable mentioning going a mile out and back, and said something to Matt, and he was comfortable too. I mean, it wasn't, he almost looked at me as like, is this really a question? So I mean, that it says a lot for this drone. And we just had a customer here this morning looking at that hadn't seen it fly. He's seen us uncrate it, hadn't seen it fly. It wasn't 4 feet off the ground, and his eyes got really big, and it was pretty obvious. There was a little bit of a turning point for him there, in that, you know, he's been really pumped on the drone he has for the most part, but this thing, there's no scariness. There's flight characteristics are completely different. It's really smooth and steady type thing. So I'm super pumped.
Yeah, I noticed.
And I can honestly say Brad has always been the grounding wire here. I'm the positive. He's the grounding wire. And when we got to Houston, I'm giddy like a little schoolgirl. I get a chance to sit and have dinner with Nick and Arthur, and we're going over things, and I think everything's just peachy keen. And Brad's like, well, I don't know. I'm not sold yet. I'm like, how could you not be sold? This drone is freaking amazing, right? We get out and we fly it. We see it. We put it together. I'm like, oh, my God, this thing's great. And Brad, I don't know. And then we finally get it here. Thank you, Arthur, by the way, to be part of this process. But then we get it and we start flying it, and slowly and surely he's changing. And then I'd say we're out day four, day five of actually flying, and he's like, this thing's pretty cool. No kidding, Brad.
I mean, I just noticed some cool features on it. You guys can add more to it, but like I noticed the blades, there's four, so there's less to maintenance. There's not six or eight.
Correct.
The blades, they have a nice little, I don't know what you call it, like a latch when you undo them. You don't have to screw it anymore, so it's quicker. You only got one battery on this, and it's on the top where you can literally drop it in, and it's good to go. There's not two, there's just one. You got a big, huge hole to be able to fill product. We noticed it's just so much more stable when it flew. And then the big thing was, you said the battery. How long did that battery last? It was forever. And it charged so quickly.
We flew it probably further than we should have, but total distance it went was around 4 miles, and had probably half payload on it, so far more than models in the past. And when it come back, it came back, had a little bit of battery left. It wasn't to like, oh my gosh, I got to set down here battery level yet, which was refreshing. This drone is a lot different. Like you said, setup and teardown is a heck of a lot quicker. They made a video out there at Helio that showed them raising the arms up and folding the blades out. And the guy in the video that I seen, he wasn't on race pace by any means. And total length of the video was still like 54 seconds, I think. So, you know, it's quick to set up, tears down just as fast. The efficiencies of this one is pretty wild. They, you know, they're touting some pretty big numbers. And this is another spot I was very skeptical. I got a hold of Nick, and I think he said something to Arthur about this. But, you know, like, efficiency an hour thing, I seen what it was, and I was like, is this really possible? And then, you know, Nick's like, well, our math and everything. So after we got the demo here and I started seeing what, you know, we could do with an inefficient setup, just working off of the back of a flatbed pickup truck, no pumps to pump water over the drone or anything, just like bare essentials, not efficient, and still turning out just under 50 acres an hour out of this thing. Do I think their numbers are attainable? I'm going to be really surprised if not. It's that good.
Right. And I guess, question two, you mentioned software, and people might say, it's great, I can spray and I have the software that's easy to use. People are probably wondering, the data you get from that software, how easy is it to work with other programs and overlay and do all that? Because people are probably wondering that too with this new software that they get, that's out there in the controller.
It's not difficult. I would say the big thing about the 150 is it's simple. And kudos to Helio, just simplicity. Like, that was one of the biggest complaints that we got from customers, is it's a very busy, some of their older drones are very busy. There's a lot of stuff on it. There's a lot of moving parts. Takes a while to set up. This drone is simple. They don't have a lot of stuff hanging off of it. It's just, it's a huge step in the right direction. And I talk about this all the time, that the amount of obviously, change doesn't come in a vacuum, right? We've been in this business we've been researching this business for 4 years, if not a little bit longer. We've been selling for 3 and servicing for 3. But the amount of change, that innovation that Helio's done versus seeing what our competitors have done, is night and day. Some people will tell you, well, they've got to catch up. No, they don't. They don't need to catch up. They're surpassing. They've been close. Now they're surpassing everybody, and it's just going to take people who maybe have had bad experiences to get a chance to take a look at this thing and be like, oh wow, yes, this is by far the best drone on the market, and that's the way I see it.
Okay. Now, I guess one thing you mentioned with competitors, Arthur, you kind of hinted at the beginning, but just to put it out plainly, you hear this a lot with customers and why they want to buy USA and they're worried. Should we be concerned about where our data goes and who gets it and why? What's your thoughts on this?
Regardless of country, you should be very, let's say, cognizant of where your data is going. I mean, there are, let's say, bad companies in the U.S. as well as in China. I think China is particularly dangerous because, of course, the very close ties between their government and their corporate entities, right? So they have a very tight partnership there, meaning that it's just a lot easier for nefarious actors in China to utilize your data for bad things. And I think, so to make it like a little more real, So bear with me, because we are just private citizens. I do not have a clearance. I am not privy to any of these like Homeland Security briefings or memos or anything, but there is stuff that's been leaked. And of course, you can argue, okay, is that all true, or is this blown up by like certain people in the government? But basically, as far back as, let's say, 2017, I think there was an investigation done in California specifically, but this was like, I believe in tandem with like Department of Home Security, and it was like, you know, local California police department and whatnot were involved in this study. But basically they were analyzing the risk that DJI posed from a national security standpoint. And this memo was later leaked years later. But at the time they had found that, at least in California, in the area, the region they were studying, the DJI distributors there and DJI itself, the corporation, was very strategically, allegedly, according to this report, was strategically targeting customers in like locations where they could gather critical infrastructure data about the U.S. So whether that be farming yields or where the electric grid goes, like the power substations, and just how all that works. So they're targeting customers that would allow them to get data about these important assets for them in terms of intelligence gathering. And they even went so far into the report to say that, and everyone could look this up, but they say in the report that DJI was also using data from some of these farmers, I think particularly like vineyards and whatnot in California. They were like measuring their output and their economics, essentially, because these people had bought DJI drones to do some photogrammetry work and scouting on their crops. And then they used that to actually position themselves economically to buy this land. So like some Chinese developer came in and bought some of this farmland in California based off of this data they had got from the actual drones scouting the area. So that's like kind of creepy, dystopian in a way. Like, it is what it is. Like, you should know, I think, again, with an American or U.S. product, or Chinese product, you should know that if someone could use your data for an advantage, they probably will. So it's like shame on the property owners, I suppose, but you can have sympathy for them as well. It's like you just wouldn't think it would be like this consequential, but because they bought a relatively cheap Chinese DJI drone and scattered their land, apparently that economically disadvantaged them when it came to this takeover of their property. So this is all stuff, I mean, I'm just relating, I probably messed up some of the details, but I think those are broad strokes what the U.S. government found as far back as like 2016, 2017. And of course, there's just more examples of this. There's other leaked memos where they've investigated DJI being used to spy on energy grid stuff, and possibly like in Pennsylvania, right? There was even, I think it was Pennsylvania, where a grid went down, a power grid went down because someone flew like a DJI drone with two copper wires coming off like its rotors, and they shorted the lines. So there's been incidents like that. And just take this all with a grain of salt, because we only see like the shadow, because this is all hush hush, and the government doesn't exactly want to reveal their vulnerabilities for good reason. But yeah, I think these are being used for bad things, simply put. And there's also another key difference. So yes, people can use Helios drones for bad too. I mean, you could use a car, a gun, whatever. It's like, you know, it's the intention behind the tool that makes it good or bad, or the outcome good or bad. People can use Helio drones nefariously, but the difference is I can get called up to Congress and testify about our security protocols, how our software and hardware is built, like what vulnerabilities there are. You can't hold DJI accountable. I mean, they're based in Shenzhen. They answer to the Chinese government, not our government. So you can't even have an open conversation with them about what are the cybersecurity backdoors, how could we possibly shore this up and make sure bad actors, like not even Chinese people, what if just like some psycho American guy uses a DJI drone for bad things? We still don't have that communication channel and that open working relationship with the Chinese government and DJI to be able to shore that defense up. So that's where it does make a difference to buy from an American company, because like I said, yeah, I am responsible. Me and my co-founders are responsible for what our product does in this market. We are accountable for it. And it's reflected in the way we approach safety and just, everything. Our the features and just like, just who we even sell to or what we want to sell these for, right? So, I mean, it's totally different. But yeah, okay, I'll stop there. I think that was a lot.
Okay. I think, Matt, you have a point, and then I have a special treat for you, Arthur.
I think this is kind of the rage debate going on in government policy right now is once China joined the WTO and was able to trade worldwide and do all the things, they've never abided by any of the rules. They've came in and they copied intellectual property from all kinds of companies from around the world and then sold cheaper versions of that same thing back into those markets. And that's what we deal with here. Not necessarily they've stole your intellectual property, but what they've done is they've made cheap, they've cheapened the cost to get into this. So it's, and they're doing it by subsidies. So it's very, it's not the easiest thing to sell in this market because we are more expensive than the Chinese drones. But a lot of people, they just look at the price. And they don't realize the negative effects of everything, of them purchasing that drone just because it's cheap. Sure, it might be okay. It's not the greatest technology out there. I'm gonna say it right now. Those products are not the best drone out there. I've seen the best drone out there. We currently are flying it. It is what it is. We shouldn't be supporting a country that continues to cheat and steal and try to downplay or destroy our own economy. I'm getting off my soapbox.
It's okay. It's okay. Actually, you know what? I think there is a drone competitor that sounds similar to another competitor, but FYI Industries reached out to me and they knew we were doing this and they asked me to do a corporate video for them to ease the tension. Would you like to take a listen to it, Arthur?
Yeah,
corporate. This was their response. They asked us. They required us to do it for this podcast.
Your FYI industry shills.
Welcome to FYI, where magic and massive government subsidies make us the dominant monopoly in drones. Lately, we've heard plenty of rumors about our business practices and ethics, and we wanted to take time to show just how untrue they are.
Hey!
Sorry, I had a tickle in my throat. Our employees have a strong work ethic and even love to put in overtime. In fact, if they don't match our core values of the Supreme Leader, I mean company, then they're asked to leave and enjoy a nice paid vacation at one of our remote lithium mining facilities. Why are you saved? How was your time in Mongolia? Cold? He doesn't say much. We offer top wages to our employees and great benefits, like housing, that they're never allowed to leave after curfew. You might have also heard rumors about data storage and data sharing. Yes, we do save everything you do on our drones, our software, and anything else you do on your phone or tablet with our software. We do this because we care. Having complete data about your country's infrastructure, agricultural practices, and communication system is a necessity to keep you safe. Besides, why would America's biggest threat want to know the entire layout of your country? You're just overthinking. We at FYI have no connection to the government and promise never to share our harvested data unless they ask for it.
Sir, Xi Jinping is on line 2 for you.
Tell him I'm busy.
The future is looking bright for FYI Industries, like new specialized drones to spy on. Provide security threat tracking, land surveying, and tracking of your natural resources. The new world of tariffs don't threaten us with our ability to move our resources around. Our employees never mind pay decreases because it's in their forced labor. Free labor. their contract. Thank you for taking the time to learn about our culture of positive ethics at FYI Industries. FYI, where your data is our priority. Or your data is our safety. One of those two. It's looking bright over there.
Of course.
Of course it is. Yeah. They won't allow us to promote any other view of it, right?
You know, that was pretty good.
I thought they threatened you with a vacation. Makes more sense now.
Yeah, they did threaten me with a vacation. Said, how would you like to go to the mountains? Oh, the mountains? To work. Oh.
No character.
We're running a little bit short on time, so is it all right if we skip ahead to a game for you?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's time for an exciting round of Is This Legal? Our favorite game show to see what's black and white, what's gray, and what's just plain stupid. We want to welcome today's guest, Arthur Erickson from Helio. Arthur, today's rules are simple. We will give you a scenario, and all you have to do is tell us if it's something that we can do, we probably shouldn't do, or that's just stupid to do. It's time. For Is This Legal?
Woo!
Yeah!
All right, so we got a bunch of questions, but we're going to just pick four out of them. So I guess we'll start. Travis, what's your first question for Arthur?
My first question. All right, this is one that I really like. Can we attach a fog machine to a drone and fly it over an area to get mist shot so it looks cool for footage?
Yes.
Oh, we can. Cool.
As far as I know, that shouldn't be precluded. So.
Okay. Can I fit that in the budget, Matt?
No.
There are laws against, let's say dispersing controlled substances, so pesticides, chemicals, things of that nature. And then also you can't transmit explosive material. So I don't know exactly how a fog machine works, but granted that it's not explosive, then it should be fine, I would think. I'm not a lawyer. Yeah.
All right. Good, well, we'll take this all as a grain of salt. We should say it out loud. None of us are lawyers. Don't sue us.
Don't take anything what we say for reference.
For real, okay?
Yeah,
it's been said.
Yeah,
no, you can't, right? That's how it works. All right, I'll ask the next question. All right, Arthur. Can you use your drone to deliver a burrito to your tractor during harvest?
How much does your drone weigh and how much does the burrito weigh?
This is a massive burrito.
We'll say it's a massive burrito.
If it's under 55 pounds.
Okay, not that big a burrito.
Yeah.
If the entire system's under 55 pounds, then I believe it should be legal.
Okay.
Under the right height, so as long as you're not violating airspace restrictions, and if you're on your own property.
What if the drone passes over? Like, you know, I'm ordering it for the Mexican restaurant that it's about a mile and a half away. Then can I?
I think you're running into issues now. You'd have to be licensed for that.
So
I mean,
you can do it, but
you'd have to be licensed and exempted for it.
Okay. So if you own a Mexican restaurant, you can deliver a burrito from your back door to your field.
You'd have to have a special permit to fly over people.
Okay.
This is a spectrum of legality as far as I'm viewing it.
Sure. I'm going to say probably a no. All right, next question. What do you have, Brad?
This one kind of cracks me up. Dropping business cards from your drone over a farm show crowd while playing the song It's Raining Men.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Men. How big is the drone?
I'd imagine small if you're just dropping business cards.
Let's say
cards,
under
right?
55 pounds.
Yeah,
we're
small
under
drone.
55.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think the fact that there's like non-participants, right, just the public that you're flying over, I think that starts to get into territory where you have to be exempted or you'd have the specific written permission for this through some licensing structure. I mean, so yeah, I think legal if you go through all the hoops, but not just dry or just like riding dirty, so to speak.
I wonder, do we
have... That would be a good song to play too while they drop it, Riding Dirty.
Yeah. What, see, that's where I was going. Does it have to be Raining
Does it
Men?
Have to? No, it doesn't have to be. Does that change legality if we play a different song?
I mean, there's some great songs that we could throw in there.
That's more copyright law.
Some of it will
might
pay
go
our fees
over
for ASCAP.
For better in court, so I think it has some non-zero effect on the litigation here.
Drop them like they're hot.
All right.
Hey, there's a good thought there. All right, Matt, final question. What do you got for Is This Legal?
So this one hits home with all the drone sightings around here. Can we shoot down a drone flying over my property because I feel that they're watching me?
In certain states, yes.
Oh, which states maybe? A handful.
A handful, like probably the ones you're picturing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I believe in Texas you can. I think I read that. Grain of salt, I'm not a lawyer, but I think I read that like recently they ruled in some court case that it was legal. Contextual, you have to basically prove to the court that you believe that the drone was like, you know, spying on you or doing something bad. If it's just like passing by, it's not really legit. But if it's like hovering over your daughter's sunbathing by the pool and it's hovering, take it out. You know what I mean?
So if the drone is playing the song, I've been watching you.
Probably a good idea.
Probably a good idea. Yeah, if you live in Texas, maybe, or a no-shoe state.
So I did look at the legality in Ohio. It is illegal, and I did talk to the FAA, and he said federally it's illegal unless there's been a court case to state the otherwise in the specific state. So
yeah, I think in Texas there was a court case. That's my vague memory of it.
So in Ohio, it is very illegal to do that.
Okay.
Good to know.
Sounds good, but some states you can go hunting.
Although, again, if we're in the situation where daughter's sunbathing and there's a drone out, I don't see the reason why you shouldn't shoot it down.
If you don't mind the court proceedings, possibly.
Protect the sanctity of the young ladies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that was a round of Is This Legal? Thank you so much for your participation, Arthur.
Yeah, sure.
That was fun. I was going to say, we do have one last surprise for you, so stay tight.
Thank you for taking the time to be a part of our latest episode of Apple Farm Chatter. Since you're taking the time with us, we'd like to show our appreciation in return. About 3 hours ago, when we opened, we sent one of our drones your way, carrying a deluxe Apple Farm Service Care package from Apple Farm Service swag. BOGO coupons and freshly baked cookies are on their way to you. Our estimated time of arrival is... Oh. Wait. What? Really? So, we did send it. We really did. Unfortunately, the drone detected its batteries were too low for the trip and safely navigated their way back home. We don't know exactly what we were thinking by flying a drone to Texas, but we do know this. We owe you a gift, which is why we're offering you the rarest, most exclusive compensation known to ag podcasting. An Apple Farm Service rain check. That's right. Just mention this episode and we'll hook you up with a free Apple Farm Service hat and tumbler. No drone flight required. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up one more time for our guest for being an amazing sport and for bravely enduring a cookie-less prize on this episode of Apple Farm Chatter.
They were lemon cookies. You didn't want them anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We couldn't just turn them away, though. Somebody made them for free.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
We'll get some swag
next time you stop in. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll come up and visit pretty soon here, I think. Show season's going to start, just a few months from now.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I, as we're wrapping up, I guess kind of go around. Any last words that... Arthur, are you going to share about Helio or how they can learn more?
Just go to the website. There's a lot of good. I always tell people there's good stuff on there, even if you don't have any intention of buying Helio products. So we've got like a page about the regulations you need to fly drones. It's, the 107, the 137 breaks it all down. There's stuff about what NDAA compliance is. So just understanding the different laws that the U.S. government has passed about what you can and can't buy and in use for government work, etc. So a lot of good info on there. Just go to it's hylio.com or hyl.io. So we have two domains because Helio.com is probably easier for a lot of people to remember. So, yeah, just check out the site. Good info on there, even if you don't buy a single gosh darn Helio product ever in your life.
Awesome. And anything from Brad, Matt, anything you want to mention before we say a bit adieu?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like Arthur said, their website has lots of great info. Apple Farm Services YouTube has some cool videos, some how-tos and whatnot. If you want a demo on the new Aries drone, give Matt or I a call. We will set one up and get out there, fly that thing for you. You will be impressed. But more importantly, just visit our website. Check out all the cool stuff we got.
Awesome. Matt, anything?
Yeah, give us a call. We need to get out and fly this thing as much as possible so they can get all the data back, so they can make sure that when this thing is full in 100% production, that it's a great drone. What we're seeing, it's a great drone, but we need to get out and fly it more. Get 8 hours a day of flying it and get that data back to them, so then they can tweak and make it perfect. And thank you, Arthur, for the time. It's always good to sit down and talk to you.
Yeah, this was fun. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thanks so much, Arthur. Our guest, Arthur Erickson, CEO and co-founder of Helio today with Apple Farm Chatter. And Travis, if they want to learn more about Apple Farm Chatter and Apple Farm Service, how can they?
Oh, they can just search us anywhere. Go online to applefarmservice.com, check out our website, or if you want to check out Apple Farm Chatter, go to our YouTube, our RSS, our Spotify, or even on iHeartRadio's podcast network. We are there and we're everywhere.
Awesome. From everyone here at Apple Farm Chatter, we say happy farming.
Thank you for listening to Apple Farm Chatter. If you haven't, subscribe today. Want more from Apple Farm Service? Like us on Facebook, follow us on TikTok, and check out our website, applefarmservice.com. Happy farming from your friends at Apple Farm Service and Apple Farm Chatter.